Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 13, Chapter entitled The Appearance of Lord Varahadeva, text number 36. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, your tongue is a plate of sacrifice, your nostril is another plate of sacrifice, in your belly is the eating plate of sacrifice, and another plate of sacrifice is the holes of your ears. In your mouth is the Brahma plate of sacrifice, your throat is the plate of sacrifice known as Soma, and whatever you chew is known as Agni Hotra. Purport. The Vedavadis say that there is nothing more than the Vedas and the performances of sacrifice mentioned in the Vedas. They have recently made a rule in their group to formally observe a daily sacrifice. They simply ignite a small fire and offer something whimsically. They do not strictly follow the sacrificial rules and regulations mentioned in the Vedas. It is understood that by regulation there are different plates of sacrifice required, such as Srak, Shruva, Bahis, Chaturhotra, Ida, Chamasa, Prashitra, Graha, and Agnihotra. One cannot achieve the results of sacrifice unless one observes the strict regulations. In this age, there is practically no facility performing sacrifices in strict discipline. Therefore, in this age of Kali, there is a stricture regarding such sacrifices. It is explicitly directed that one should perform Sankirtan Jagya and nothing more. The incarnation of the Supreme Lord is Jagyeshwara. And unless one has respect for the incarnation of the Lord, he cannot perfectly perform sacrifice. In other words, taking shelter of the Lord and rendering service unto Him is the factual performance of all sacrifices, as explained herein. Different plates of sacrifice correspond to the different parts of the body of the Lord's incarnation. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, it is explicitly directed that one should perform Sankirtan Jagya to please the Lord's incarnation as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This should be rigidly followed in order to achieve the results of Jagya performance. Omagyan Timanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha kaupa turubhyascha kripa sindhu bhyevacha Petitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So as we mentioned in the previous class, that this is the first time in the Bhagavatam that we're seeing the Lord appear. And then, not that the first time we're seeing Him appear, I mean, He's been there already in the 7th chapter of the first canto. He came, Krishna Himself appeared with Arjuna. But first incarnation who has appeared. So being the first incarnation, He's coming as the boar, as we explained previously, to test all of us to see, will you worship a boar? Are you devoted to a boar? it's an amazing concept. We are a radical religion. Or a radical movement. We're not normal people. come and join the temple. You go on Harinam Sankirtan on the street and give out invitations. Come to the temple and worship the pig. We are the pig worshippers. We worship the boar, the supreme personality of Godhead, boar incarnation. Like that, this is a radical thought process, actually. So the Bhagavatam is the scripture for Kali Yuga. Because it is meant to test our faith. It is meant to uplift all of us to the consciousness, a higher state of consciousness. And what is that higher state of consciousness? That we worship the Lord unconditionally.
with complete devotion, and we understand the Lord's form to be completely transcendental. This is stated by Krishna in the fourth chapter of the Gita. He's explaining transcendental knowledge. He says that his divine form is under the potency of Atmamaya, which means his own potency. His form is not material. His form is completely spiritual. So we have to understand that. You can't develop a relationship with Krishna until and unless you understand he is spiritual. And that's why our relationship at this point in time is limited. Because we cannot see the original form of God. Why? Because we identify with matter. And therefore the Archivigraha, or the Murti form, the Lord's incarnation as Sri Murti. Sri Murti means the form of the Lord, the spiritual form of the Lord, incarnates as Sri Murti. Why? To purify the contaminated senses of the conditioned soul, so we can understand the Lord has a divine form. Because we cannot see the original form at this point in time. So what is the point of deity worship? Who needs to worship the deity?
All of us.
Everyone. Everyone should worship the deity. Everyone should aspire for a Brahman initiation. Aspire. Not Prabhupada actually said not everyone will get it. It's not necessary for everyone, meaning that not everyone has the inclination to worship the deity. But there should be that consciousness that every devotee should be aspiring to become a worshipper of the deity. Right? Now, especially, according to Varnashram Dharma, who especially is deity worship meant for?
Yes.
Grihasthas. Why?
Regulate the senses.
And because they're in Maya. Grihastha ashram means?
Maya.
I am not saying. Srila Prabhupada is saying. Prabhupada was walking in France with the devotees on a morning walk, and Srila Prabhupada said to the devotees, why are the Grihasthas in Maya? And the devotees could not say anything. No one said anything. And Prabhupada said, why are they in Maya? And no one said anything. And then after a few seconds, Prabhupada said, that is all right. That is their position. Prabhupada said that. Said, that is all right. That is their position. They're in Maya. So what does it mean about the Brahmacharis? They're also in Maya. And the Brahmacharis. Even it means the Vanaprasthas and even the Sannyasis. The Sannyasis are in Maya also. Also, Prabhupada was walking in Juhu on the beach with Giriraj Prabhu, who is now Giriraj Maharaj. And he was walking along the beach. And Giriraj Maharaj made the comment. He said that Srila Prabhupada, sometimes I get in Maya. And Prabhupada put the cane into the sand and he looked at it and he said, you are always in Maya. And Prabhupada just walked off and Giriraj Maharaj was thunderstruck by Prabhupada. You are always in Maya. And Giriraj Maharaj, he offered his obeisances and then he stood up and Prabhupada was just walking down the beach. You're always in Maya. And then he ran after Prabhupada to catch up with Prabhupada. Another time, Prabhupada was saying in the class, Prabhupada was giving class, and Prabhupada said, Maya can touch you, but Maya cannot affect me in the class. He was saying like that. Maya can affect you, but Maya cannot touch me. So after the class, then Prabhupada was in front of the deities, and he was praying in front of the deities. And then after Prabhupada left, and one devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what were you praying in front of the deities? And Prabhupada said, I was praying I never fall into Maya.
Yeah,
was it?
Tamalakshmi.
It was his. Okay. So, Prabhupada said, I was praying that I would not fall into Maya. And he said, that is why I never fall into Maya, because I'm always praying that I will not fall into Maya. And Prabhupada also said one time, he said, if I have one criticism of my disciples, they do not fear Maya enough. We don't take Maya seriously. That's why we're in Maya. And actually, we like Maya. Maya Devi Ki?
Yeah.
We actually like it. We like being in Maya. We're attached to the material energy. Even if God himself, Krishna himself, came and said, okay, now you can go back to the spiritual world. But would you release yourself? Would you go back?
No.
What about the story of who fell? Indra. Cursed by? Yeah, Guru. If the Guru curses you, you're in trouble. If Guru Maharaj gets angry, right, then big trouble. So Brihaspati became angry. He said, become a pig. He said to him, become a pig. What is your problem? Right, arrogant fool, become a pig. Like that, and then suddenly takes birth as a pig. So then, becomes attached to who? His wife. A good looking wife. 90 pounder. Big mama. This is what happens in the material world. You know, your wife is this big, like, but you're attached to her. You know, she has a moustache, and like, she's like, you know, like that, and she beats you with a rolling pin. But you're attached to her. That's the material energy. We're attached. So he became attached to his wife. He was a pig. And then his three children. Huey, Dewey, and Louie. The three pigs. Was that the name of the three pigs?
No, Huey, Dewey, and Louie are the ducks.
They're ducks, are they?
Yeah.
Sri Rasanandi Uvacha. You have to come in Parampara to understand how everyone is connected. So what were the name of the three pigs? I don't know what their names were. But he's attached to three pigs. He said, I'm not giving up my kids. I'm not coming, you know. And Brahma himself comes. And Lord Brahma says, now go back. We need you back in heaven, Indra. He said, no. He said, I'm attached to my wife, my kids. Right? And then he got some darshan of his next day. Brahma said, look, what's happening tomorrow? Tomorrow the butcher's brought the knife and he's about to kill him. And he says, no, now I'll go back. But that's all of us. We're attached. Right? And the only way we become detached is by suffering. How do we become detached? When we suffer. It says there's three times when you're sober. Right? When you're in the crematorium, everyone's sober. Right? Just like my grandfather and grandmother passed away a few months back. So everyone's sober. Right? You can preach to them, to your family members, because they actually listen. Because everyone's become sober when they're in the crematorium. And then when you're sick, when you're in the hospital, everyone gets serious. Because you feel, you know, when you're nearly dying, then everyone becomes very sober, dira. And then it says when you're in the Bhagavatam class, these three times. In the Bhagavatam class, everyone's very sober. Yes, it's true. I will give up Maya. But as soon as you go outside, then attached again. So why do we suffer? Suffering is to bring detachment. And is it possible to go back to Godhead without suffering? What is the answer? No. I was in Sydney and Tamal Krishnamurti was just giving a lecture, 2001, I think it was, last time he came to Australia. And Indradyumna Swami Maharaj was sitting there and he, at the end of the class, he said, Maharaj, he says, is it possible to go back to Godhead without suffering? And Tamal Krishnamurti said, no, it is not. you must suffer. Otherwise, you will not become detached. Suffering is meant to bring detachment. So when Krishna gives us suffering, what do we do? We say thank you. But what do we do?
Remember his name.
Remember his name, yeah. Hopefully that's what we do. But what do we do?
Tolerate,
yeah, that's good. But what do we often do? We have internal dialogue with Krishna. Krishna's making his suffering. We're saying, are you serious? You're actually doing this to me? Is this how you want to purify me? I thought you were going to purify me easily. I thought this was going to be an easy path back to Godhead. Why so difficult? So sometimes we have this internal dialogue with Krishna. We say, why is it you're making me suffer? But actually the suffering is Krishna's mercy. So much so that Queen Kunti says, let the suffering come again and again. Because when I'm suffering, I remember you. And when I'm not suffering, I find it difficult to remember you. So basically, everyone in this material world is in Maya. We're in illusion. So, this reason, because we're in illusion, therefore we need to worship the Archivigraha, the deity. It is for everyone, actually, but especially this is the Grihasthas. Why the Grihasthas? Because they have to understand the difference between matter and spirit. And how do you understand the difference between matter and spirit? You worship the deity. Jiva Goswami says, and Prabhupada points out actually in the Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, one of the early chapters, and Prabhupada says, actually, the process of Nam Sankirtan, just chanting the holy name, is enough to take you back to Godhead. You don't need to do anything else. And we see examples of Namacharya, Haridas Thakur, only chanting. That is sufficient. But Prabhupada explains, so then, why is it necessary to take initiation? Because if you chant purely, you don't even have to take initiation. That's enough just to take you back to Godhead, just chanting. So then Prabhupada says, why do we have to take initiation? Why? To purify the consciousness. Because when you take initiation, what are you giving permission for? To worship the deity. Actually, this first and second initiation, this is Prabhupada's you say like implementation or like that. Diksha in the Gaudiya Mat, Diksha means Brahman initiation. You worship the deity. There's no first and second. Although now some of the Gaudiya Mats are also doing something like what Prabhupada did. There's like a Harinam initiation and then a secondary. But actually, traditionally, there wasn't a first and second initiation. It was just there, it was just initiation. Right? You get Gayatri Mantra, you get permission to worship the deity. That's Diksha. Right? When it says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the Nectar Devotion, Diksha, that's what it means. Permission to worship the deity, one initiation. But these days, Prabhupada saw, in Prabhupada's genius, Prabhupada was a genius. Prabhupada understood Kali Yuga better than anyone. Lord Chaitanya is the Yuga avatar, and Prabhupada is the Yuga Acharya. He is the Acharya for the next 10,000 years because he understood what no one else could understand by Krishna's dictation. That they needed a special system in Kali Yuga. So you had to take first initiation. That's what we call first initiation. And then you take the second initiation, the Brahman initiation. So when you take Brahman initiation, you get Gayatri Mantra and you get permission from the Guru to worship Archivigraha. Now, why do you need initiation? Why do you need permission to worship the deity? Because that purifies the subtle body. And when the subtle body is purified, then your chanting has effect. Because you can chant on and on and on, but if your subtle body is not purified, you don't get the benefit of the chanting. Therefore, the system is taught that we need the parallel tracks of the train, you'd say. The two margas, what are they called? Pancharatrika, Viti Marg, and Bhagavat Vidhi Mark. So Prabhupada explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually, Bhagavat Vidhi is enough. You can just hear and chant. Because you're not qualified, then you need both simultaneously. Deity worship purifies you. Chanting will then have benefit. And then you'll get the benefit of the chanting. You'll purify your consciousness. And then you'll realize Krishna. Then you can realize that Krishna is a boar. And then you will worship him appropriately. And it requires purification. Most people in Kali Yuga can't understand this. How could God be a boar? How do you explain to someone on the street? Sometimes on book distribution, they ask you very interesting questions. How do you answer them? Just like we distribute Bhagavad Gita on the street. What does it say in the first chapter? There's some very provocative statements in the first chapter of the Gita, in Prabhupada's purports. Women are less intelligent. Okay, so how do you explain that on the street? Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, to understand that there is a difference between the matter and the spirit, that's a good point. The way I explain it, based on the instructions of Bhakti Vijayapurna Maharaj, he explained it very nicely. Men and women are different. They think differently. There are two sides of the brain, right? The right side and the left side of the brain. One is emotional. One deals with our emotionals. You see when you get emotional, you'll see your head tilts. You'll notice that. Sometimes they photos me in their head. It means they're like in an emotional state. And when you're on a thinking state or a rational state, right, using your intelligence, it's like on another part of the brain. The two parts of the brain work differently. Now, a man can only use one side of the brain at one time. He can't be simultaneous. He's either emotional or rational. Right? So when men are rational, right, in one sense, you could say they're more intelligent. Because a woman, both sides of her brain work simultaneously. Right? She can be emotional and rational simultaneously. And that's why she brings up children, traditionally. Because you have to be both simultaneously. You have to be practical, but you have to be emotional simultaneously. So both sides are going. So sometimes the women, their emotional side sways the rational side, sometimes. So in that way, sometimes then men are more intelligent. So you could say men are more intelligent when they're on that side of the brain, yes. And even that's debatable. It's debatable. Kali Yuga, there's not a vast difference. You know, a lot of the men in Kali Yuga aren't that intelligent, actually. And when they're on the other side of the brain, they're practically useless. You know, when they're on the lusty side of the brain, they're useless. Look like Ravana. How many heads did Ravana have? 10 heads, right? And only one was the really problematic head, right? And the other 9, they said to him, give Sita back. There's a whole like debate going on. Just give Sita back. Right? And the main head was just saying, no. He was just so absorbed in lust. I will not give her back. We will fight the battle again. Ram actually, on the second last day of the battle, Ram defeated him. And Ram said, listen, you dog. Just go back in, right? I'll spare your life. Give my wife back tomorrow. You'll live. Right? End of story. Go back inside. Come back tomorrow. Right? So they went back inside and they had this whole debate, all the heads. And all the other heads said, see, give her back. Right? And the one head said, no. So because of that, next day, he was finished. So we have to understand how to explain these things. That God is a boar. God is a divine form. This is Atma Maya. Krishna says in Gita. Jamma, Kama, Chame, Divyam. Divya means spiritual. Right? His form is spiritual. Right? His appearance is spiritual. All of his activities are fully spiritual. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here in this chapter, we're hearing about the appearance of the boar. So it describes here the different types of sacrifice are being described in this particular verse. Now, it is being described that in the Kali Yuga, you cannot do jagya and attain perfection. Why? Which yuga is Jagya, especially the Yuga Dharma, for? Treta, Yuga. What is Satya Yuga?
Meditation.
How long do you have to meditate for? How long do you live for in? 100,000 years, right? So you need about 60,000 years. That's like if you're living to 100 now, that's like living to 60 years of your life, you have to just chant japa to become perfect. And Prabhupada gave an indication like that. Prabhupada said one time, it took him 30 or 40 years to perfect his japa. It means it's a cultivation. It's a cultivation. It takes time to really absorb yourself in the japa. So, 60,000 years. And then in Treta Yuga, what was the process? Jagya. Jagya means sacrifice. But to do the jagyas, it's described what they needed to do the jagyas. I mean, it's an immense amount of facility to do the jagyas. You see that Yudhishthira did the Rajasuya sacrifice, and he did the Ashwamedha jagya. Like that huge amount. He had to send the Pandavas out in the four directions, the four brothers, and said, go and get all the wealth in the four directions and bring it back. Then we can do the sacrifice. Huge amount of facility. And there's one nice story in the Mahabharata that it is said that the jagya is only complete once a Brahmin is fed and satisfied. And there was a bell within the jagya style, where they're doing the jagya. And it's said that when they feed the brahmana, after the jagya was performed, Yudhishthira did his jagya, once they fed the brahmana, if the bell begins to ring automatically, then everything is complete. So they went and found one very qualified brahmana, but the brahmana was a very simple person. And then they performed the jagya, and Draupadi cooked an opulent meal in pure ghee. And after cooking that opulent meal, they served it to the brahmana. And then the brahmana, he was like a very simple person. So he started mixing everything up and putting it all here. And then he was eating the prasad. And actually Prabhupada said, when it comes to prasad, there are no hard and fast rules. Tomal Krishnamaraj was eating with Prabhupada in 1968. They were taking prasad together. He invited, come and sit and take prasad. And Tomal Krishnamaraj was eating with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada had many things on his plate. And Tomal Krishnamaraj was watching very carefully how Prabhupada ate. And then he said to Prabhupada, he said, what is the order that we should eat? And Prabhupada said, when there is prasad, there are no hard and fast rules. Mm-hmm. Okay? Just like on Baladev Purnim, what do we start with? What do we start with? I was walking in the back behind the kitchen, and Balgaur Prabhu was there, and he had a 2 litre milk, or 3 litre I think, milk carton full of Varuni juice, and the boys were all just like, as even before the feast was upstairs, you know. I walked past and then I fell down also. If you get improper association, you will fall down. I said to myself this year, I'm not going to drink so much. Because I used to drink a lot of Varuni juice. And this year I said, no, I will not drink so much because I'm getting old now. And my body cannot take it. But because I had bad association, I fell down. The back of the kitchen. So just grab the bottle, just start drinking. Yes, give me more. And I came upstairs and then we had more. And then, so begin the meal with Varuni. Then after the first subji, Varuni, then with the pakoras, a little bit Varuni, and then all the way through. It must be there. This is the spiritual world. And actually I was explaining to the devotees, what is Varuni juice? In the spiritual world, it comes out of the trees. It's like sap which pours out of the trees, and devotees get cups they drink. And it's we always have Varuna juice on which day? Baladev Purnima. But actually describes in the esoteric shastras, the gopis drink it all the time. Right? Everyone in the spiritual world is intoxicated. You have to understand this. You can only get to the spiritual world when you practice no intoxication. And when you get to the spiritual world, and Krishna says, no problem. Now, take as much as you like. Everyone's intoxicated up there. It describes Radharani, she drinks it, right? It says Varuna juice, honey nectar, they call it honey wine. She drinks the Varuna. And then she says to Krishna, it says her head starts to spin. And her eyes start to roll. And her voice starts to stutter. And she says, let's do rasa. Radharani says, let's do rasa lila. She becomes like intoxicated. And she stands up. And she begins to dance. And then Krishna also stands up and dances. And this is, everyone's intoxicated there. So, this brahmana, he was taking the prasad, and Draupadi had cooked an opulent offering. And then the bell was not ringing. And he ate the plate, and the bell did not ring. So then Yudhishthira, he consulted the brahmanas. He said, what happened? We did the jagya, we made a beautiful offering, we fed it to the brahmana, and the bell is not ringing. And the brahmana said there must have been some offense. So they went to the brahmana, right, and they said, did we offend you? He said, no. I do not feel offended. And then they began to ask everyone, what happened, what happened? Someone's disturbed. Someone's consciousness disturbed. And finally, Yudhishthira went to Draupadi. He said, Draupadi, is there anything wrong? She said, actually, I'm pretty upset. I just cooked this beautiful offering, and he just got it and just mashed it all together and ate the whole thing. I said, what is this? What sort of culture is this? And Yudhishthira said, yes, but you have offended him. Because he is a brahmana, and because you have offended him. Because offenses can be on three levels. Right? Your deeds, your words, and your thoughts. It says in Kali Yuga, if you think bad about another devotee, you don't get a reaction. Which is good, huh? Otherwise, there wouldn't be many devotees left. we wouldn't even get to breakfast in the morning. You know, all the time in the japa that we're just thinking about negative thoughts about the other devotees, I mean, we wouldn't even make it. But in the previous Yuga, even if you thought something, reactions could come. So Draupadi, because she thought, and then the brahmana was offended, so they had to do another jagya, cook another offering, feed him, and then when he was satisfied, and Draupadi let go, and she just said, he is a pure brahmana, he can do whatever he wants, and then the bell began to ring, and everything was successful. But in the previous age, it is said the sacrifices were very elaborate. And then in Dwapara Yuga, what is the process? Deity worship. So it says in the scriptures, to install a deity in Dwapara Yuga, you had to mount the deity on Radha Balara or on marble, and underneath the marble there is wood. Like there's a wooden frame, and then the marble's on top of the wooden frame. So it says in Dwapara Yuga, to install the deity, you had to have a platform of gold, and the gold had to be like 6 foot high by 12 foot wide and 18 foot long. Solid. Gold. Then you could install a deity. So obviously we can't do deity worship in this age properly. We can't do jagya properly. We can't meditate properly. We don't have the qualification, the artika. So then what is the only hope in Kali Yuga? It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kaliya dosha. Niti, Nithe Rajan. What is dosha niti? Dosha means it's a pancake, right? Kali Yuga is an ocean of pancakes with coconut chutney and sambal. right. Kale dosha. No, you have to understand Sanskrit. Dosha. Dosha means? Fault, defect. Just like we have three, in Ayurveda, we have three doshas. What are the three doshas? Kapha, Pitta, and Vata. Did anyone understand anything about Ayurveda? Why do they call them dosha? Means they're faults. Because what is Ayurveda about? Ayurveda is about fixing your doshas. Right? We say, oh, this person's got a Vata imbalance. Right? Vata imbalance means they can't put their mind on anything. It's like, right? Vata imbalance. Right? Pitta imbalance means too hot, too passionate. Right? Right? Now, if you've been to Bengal, India, anyone been to Bengal? Right? Pitta imbalance. Right? Everyone's like, so passionate. So actually, India's got a pitta imbalance in general. Right? Yeah, too much chili, too much. It's all the diet, too much grain, like that. It makes too much pitta. The whole place is just too white, worked up. Like turn on the loudspeaker, right, to full volume, right, on every single corner in India. Now that's not normal. it's too pitta. And kapha. Now when your kapha is in balance, when you're too lethargic, too slow, you just want to sleep all the time. Right, that's kapha, imbalance. So dosha means like imbalance, like that, fault. So Ayurveda means to fix the fault, to bring the doshas in balance. Right? And then when all your faults are in balance, then you're so happy and peaceful. And you can chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra perfectly. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said, health first, then Krishna consciousness. He actually said that to Dhananjaya Prabhu. He said, health first, then Krishna consciousness. Because if you're not healthy, you can't even do your service properly. See, so many devotees these days, they've got health problems. You know, when I joined the temple, you didn't have a health problem until you're about 40. These days, everyone has a health problem when they're 17. Even before you join the temple, all the devotees are sick. I always hear, every time I go to the temple, all the 20-year-old devotees, oh, I've got this problem, I've got that. Oh, I have to go and see Dr. Dan. Yeah, I have to spend $5,000, you know, just to drink some water and have some protein. Everyone has so many health problems these days, because the doshas are out of balance. Ayurveda means fix your health. Keep yourself healthy. Why? So you can serve Krishna. Prabhupada was very emphatic about health. What did Prabhupada finish every letter that he ever wrote? What did he say? Your ever well wisher. Yeah, but before that, every single letter he says, I hope this meets you in good health. He writes out every single letter. Right? I hope this meets you in good health. Right? Prabhupada said, health first, then Krishna consciousness. You can't be Krishna conscious if you're not healthy. I mean, you can, but it's very difficult. Yeah. So, dosha means the fault. So in Kali Yuga, Kaliya dosha niti. Dosha niti means it's an ocean of faults. So many problems in Kali. What are the problems in Kali Yuga? Yeah, actually, Bhagavatam, that's a good. Yeah, the Bhagavatam says, short-lived, quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, and above all, alwaysdisturbed.com. .au. Always disturbed. Everyone's so disturbed these days. You just look at someone the wrong way, they're disturbed. Right? You just say something and everyone's like, ugh. Yeah. Sometimes you say things and devotees go, oh, you know, yeah, Prabhu, you've offended me. It's like, everyone's so disturbed. You know, I can't chant my rounds, I can't come to the temple, I can't. It's like, everyone's so disturbed. This is Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga ki? Jai. Kali Adosha Niti Rajan. Asti Heko Mahanga. Ek. One good thing. Mahaguna. One is good. Right? Kirtana. Eva. Krishnasya. Krishna Kirtan. That is good. Everything else? Big problem. But Kirtan is there. And what does Prabhupada say? In the songbook of the Vaishnavacharyas, in the introduction, what does Prabhupada say the safest place in the material world is? Kirtan? Rasa. What does rasa mean?
Juice.
Means in the ocean of nectar, of kirtan. You should be ecstatic every time you hear the holy name. When the guru hears the holy name, what are the effects? According to the Guru Vastika prayers, second verse, Nanda Mandir, what does it say? Yeah? What does it mean? Romancha, Kampashru, Taranga, Bajo, what does that mean? When the guru speaks or chants the holy name, right, the hairs stand on end, tears come from the eyes, and the body begins to quiver. Right? That is meant to be happening to all of us when we chant. When Lord Chaitanya, when he received initiation from his guru, Ishwara Puri, right, he gave him this mantra, he said, chant this mantra. And then the next day, he came back, and what did Lord Chaitanya say to him? Ishwara Puri said, how was your chanting? He said, what did you give me? He said, you've made me mad. He said, my tongue will not stop vibrating this, and tears will not stop coming from my eyes. Right? And I'm feeling completely intoxicated. That's how we should feel when we chant the holy name of Krishna. So that is the goal. The goal is, Prabhupada says, there's only one safe place in this world, it's in Kirtan Ras, chanting the holy names. So it says here in this verse, this world, this yuga, this place is full of faults, but there's one good point. What is that one good point? You have to do jagya. You know? But what is the jagya? Sankirtan jagya. And Prabhupada says, if you dance and chant in front of Gaur Nitai, you can go back to Godhead. You don't even have to be initiated, and you don't even have to have second initiation. Prabhupada says, just by dancing and chanting in front of Gaur Nitai, you can go back. That's how powerful this process is. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hanam Sankirtan ki. Transcendental Varuni Juski. Join it all, you go Premananda. Any questions or comments? Yes, Rasa. No, it's not that Rasa. Yes, Rasa.
Really careful.
History. History. Okay, any other point? To a degree, deity worship.
So how do you understand what the benefits of first initiation would be? Like, you say it's kind of just like a sort of towards second.
Yeah, Prabhupada said not everyone needs to take a second initiation. He said that. And the process is Harinam Sankirtan. Even it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said you don't even have to take initiation. If you chant purely, you just go back to Godhead. But the first initiation is to purify the consciousness. And then Prabhupada explains the second initiation when the guru brings you closer. Right? Because you become steady. So first initiation is like, it's given more liberally. But the point of the first initiation is to purify. It connects you to parampara. It connects you to guru. The holy name becomes, you could say, more potent. And then you begin to chant and you're doing devotional service connected to Guru. And then when you become more qualified, Prabhupada says he gives you permission to study the Vedas, which means also to worship the deity. He gives you Gayatri Mantra. Does that make sense? So it's necessary. But traditionally, Diksha means the second initiation. Traditionally, Prabhupada broke it up, seeing like the nature of the people. So both, I wasn't trying to de-emphasize the first, but the second brings you closer. It means, you know, you have to come to a higher standard for the second. Any other points?
What did Prabhupada say on the deity worship for the grahasthas? What did Prabhupada say on the deity worship and what deity should be worshipped?
Prabhupada said that you. For the Grihasthis, he said it's necessary to give up attachment to the bodily concept of life. Because we're attached to the wife and the kids and the husband. So therefore, worshipping the deity transfers the attachment from matter to spirit. So that was his emphasis. As for which deities we should worship the deities in the temple. Prabhupada said anyone who lives close to the temple, they should worship the temple deities. That was his instruction. Otherwise, if everyone's in their home, which it had as Radha Balabha's Seva, continue. And if you're going to worship deities in your home, you need to get permission from your guru. And then for who you worship, then that's your guru's permission. Any other question?
You know, with the material...
Wind up the point, because it's going to be a bit long.
Okay.
Yeah, what's the point?
Just sanctification, we have to weigh first what we want. We want eternal happiness or we want material happiness spiced with suffering. And if we want that, we have to detach ourselves from all kinds of sense enjoyment. But we have to understand why that's important. Otherwise, you know, restriction, it makes mind very disturbed.
Any other point? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.